books.
Well, welcome to this different land, a land where all roads today lead to Woodstock. And while there, if you have a need for a read, you can head right to the front door of the Golden Notebook bookstore. James Conrad of the Golden Notebook has been keeping track of what literary pursuits are worth our precious time and money and is here to give us an update. It is always a pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable. Hello, sir.
Hi, Joe. It's nice to be back.
Wonderful to have you back. Where would you like to begin?
Well, let's start with something a little close to home, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The Rightful Heritage by Douglas Brinkley. Franklin Roosevelt and the Land of America. Now, we probably think the last thing we need is another biography of a president, no less one as prolific as Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But this is a biography that actually focuses on Roosevelt's role as the premier protector of our country's public lands. Now, the first quarter of this book chronicles his being raised in the Hudson Valley. And then while he went to Harvard, he was put in charge of the family farm and the 600 acres of land that surrounded his Hyde Park home, that beautiful property around the Hudson River. And this is where he learned how to become a land manager. Now, as a land manager, he basically did this job his entire life, all throughout his whole presidency. He proceeded to plant over 3 billion trees. He conserved 118 million acres, which is actually larger than the state of California. Notice all of the trails and parks and the threatened landscapes that he saved. But he was also one of the first ones to realize the value of forestation in terms of conserving water and soil, something that was needed because as the country was growing, our lands were actually being like really, you know, beat up by all of the farming and all that. And during the Great Depression, he did another unique thing, which was he created jobs, actually, with the Civilian Conservation Corps and all of that. But anyways, it's a really good read. It's as a biography, it's a new type of biography where they're actually not just putting out the whole, like, 10 volumes of somebody's life. It's something that they focus on a certain certain aspect of their life, in this case, the environment for FDR. And my favorite part sort of comes near the end of this. After his death, there was a lot of brainstorming about how to properly build a memorial for him. And one thing that was suggested was to put a memorial in the Muir Woods outside of San Francisco. There was a large UN delegation at the time in San Francisco right after his death, and so it was handy that they were all out there. And so they went to the Redwoods where they thought, oh, the Redwoods are very similar to him, this very strong and enduring tree, and they put this memorial there. And just recently, on the 50th anniversary, one of these old Redwoods came crashing down, like, on his plaque, and they actually decided to leave it there because they thought, well, let it just, you know, go back to the earth on its own, which is something that FDR would have actually been very proud of and would have liked that. One last note on Douglas Brinkley. He and his family actually came to the Hudson Valley and lived here while they worked on the book, or he worked on the book. And he came into our store once, and he actually talked about how he thought that Woodstock didn't really have a good history book written, and which is actually, there's actually a lot of good history books on Woodstock. I want to clear that up. But he wants to write another one, apparently. So we are all for it. And so if he's listening right now, we're just saying, please write that history book on Woodstock, Douglas Brinkley, and we will look into housing you and all that. So just let us know.
We did a live broadcast down at the FDR Museum, Library Museum, and he was our guest while he was doing
While he was up here doing it.
Writing the book. And I just remember the show because he was on in the kids were running all over the place, like from one end of the up and down the aisles, and it was really great. And so, but it's great to see the book and see
it's a really great
come
book.
Out to it. It's very cool. Where to next?
All right, let's stay sort of in the area, but in a different little town. Let's go to Oneida. Coming out in about a week or so is a book called Oneida: From Free Love Utopia to the Well Set Table, an American Story by Ellen Wayland Smith. Now, I don't know if you know this, or I'm sure you know this, but I was actually a little new to this whole history, where in the 19th century, all the utopian societies that were popping up all around the area, a rather fascinating one popped up in Oneida, which was led by John Humphrey Noyes, which preached a radical religious doctrine advocating free love, communism, and perfectionism. And free love meant just that. Noyes actually believed monogamy was a sin, and that group love was the way to usher in the new millennium. They believed God demanded a variety in every aspect of life, and that included sex. Now, the controversial issue with this was that, well, it's controversial back then too, I'm sure, was that they induced younger members, boys and girls around this, to be inducted by older members. And finally, after about 30 years of all this practice, Noyes had to flee to Canada because other churches and the authorities were basically cracking down on him, and they shut the whole thing down. Now, the second half of the book moves to a very different thing, which is the whole founding of the Oneida Limited, the silverware company that we know so famously.
Right.
What's interesting is that Wayland Smith focuses this whole book on ideas a lot, and she shows how a lot of the socialist ideas from this utopian society actually got transformed into this capitalistic venture, this very successful one, and how some of these ideals actually were what helped make this company so successful. For example, they paid their workers really well. They were far ahead of the country in terms of how well they treated women. And during the Depression, they would cut the wages for their managers as well as their workers equally, which was a rather novel thing. But the whole thing kind of reads like a T.C. Boyle novel in a weird way. But it's a kind of an amazing history of this town, so I highly recommend it. It's coming out in about a week.
Oneida, and from free love, utopia, to the well-set table, an American story. Two stories that certainly so often go together.
Exactly. One more local thing. Joe, I think you know about Abigail Thomas.
Oh, my dear friend.
Yes. Well, she doesn't have a new book coming out, but she does have her last book is just coming out in paperback. And I wanted to just talk about it. It's What Comes Next and How to Like It. It's a memoir, of course. She's a very famous memoirist, locally lives in Woodstock. This memoir focuses on friendship. She always covers family topics and her friends and her career and all that, but this one really is about her friendship with Chuck and how he had a very unique relationship with her family, and it caused a lot of struggle in their friendship. But by reading this, I actually tried to really think about what makes Abigail so amazing as a writer, how she moves people so well, other than the fact that she's a gorgeous writer. Her writing is always very simple and direct, and her memoirs involve sort of just everyday topics like knitting and painting and her dogs and going out for coffee with friends. But what she really does really well is she tries to focus on imperfections, and she's very honest about her own, whether it's growing older or drinking and or smoking or just her endless struggle to try to do the right thing all the time. I think she pulls us in because we are all so imperfect, and we fret about our imperfections all the time. And when Abigail writes about it, she writes about it so beautifully and so funny a lot of the time that it gives us a little bit of a pass, and we kind of feel like, you know, oh, we're not so bad after all. Another aspect of Abigail, which is amazing, is she's a big mentor to so many writers and to so many people who are creative, and you know, just directly and personally. And I think that comes off in her writing, where she kind of cheers you on in life. You know, she cheers you on to, like, you know, to enjoy more of it and to see all the great things about it. But you sort of finish one of her books and you kind of go back into the world and you want to pay more attention to all the wonderful details all around you. And in this one, which is a lot about friendship, it kind of makes you want to call up a very old friend and get back together with them, which is what I felt. Just a quick thing. She's going to be at the Golden Notebook on Mother's Day, May 8th at 2 p.m. And she'll be doing a reading and signing with Allison Galen, interviewing her. It's going to be great. So get there early if you want a good seat.
Abigail Adams, what? I'm sorry. Abigail,
Our Adams.
That was a different.
Why not?
A different great woman from history. What comes next and.
How to Like It.
And How to Like It. It's I'll tell you, it's a gorgeous, absolutely beautiful book. Not linear in any sense, and I also love the fact that it's so. Yeah, in paperback. And it's also, look at the chapters are just short. Some can be a half a paragraph. Others are a page or two. And just telling these beautiful anecdotes. Her writing is gorgeous. It's just so lovely and sublime. And you find so much out in just these few short bursts of prose. It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
it's really beautiful.
It's hard to explain it, and I sold it to a woman in the store just the other day, and she just read the first page and was like, oh, I have to have it. So, you know, it's hard to, you know, you just have to put it in your hand and take a look at
it. It's really great stuff. Abigail Thomas, What Comes Next and How to Like It. It's a memoir and absolutely beautiful.
All right, let's change gears and try food. Last fall, our store started a cookbook club, Well, my husband, Chaz, who's the director of food and dining at Bard, he wanted to do something connected to our bookstore. So he started this club. And basically what it is, it's you know, a take on having a dinner party. But what you do is you get about a dozen friends together and you choose a cookbook, or the host or hostess chooses. Or it could be actually a chef who could have more than one cookbook. And you basically have a curated dinner party because all the dishes come from this one book. And of course you make some decisions as to who's going to cook what, so you don't have, you know, 12 desserts or something terrible like that, or wonderful like that. But what we did was, the current one is, we have Nopi by Yotam Ottolenghi and Ramul Scully. Nopi is the name of Yotam Ottolenghi's New York City restaurant. Now, Ottolenghi is an Israeli who moved to Israel, moved to England, and with a partner, Sami Tamimi, he created all these cookbooks: Plenty, Jerusalem, More Plenty. What's interesting is that Ottolenghi is Israeli-Jewish, and Tamimi is Israeli-Arab. And there's always this speculation that there's some type of a political statement they're doing with their cooking or something, when actually they kind of laugh that off. But they do say that they hope that their hummus will eventually bring all of Jerusalemites together. Ottolenghi is known for his mix of Middle Eastern flavors, Syrian, Turkish, Lebanese, Israeli. And he does it with a Western twist because of living in London. And that's his main sort of claim to fame skill. But anyway, so get your friends together, create a cookbook club, and you'll have a lot of curated good eats.
Nopi is the name of the book. Very cool. We probably have time for one more, sir.
Okay, let's see. A novel. I was going to do Oblong Stole My Novel from a couple weeks ago.
I'm sure they didn't mean to.
It was a lighter sort of summer novel. But instead, I was forced to pull down a book I was very interested in, which is called The Little Red Chairs by Edna O'Brien. I'm kind of horrified to say I've never read O'Brien before. And when I saw the list of all of her amazing accomplishments in fiction and nonfiction, and even a biography of James Joyce, I was pretty shocked. Anyways, her new novel, Little Red Chairs, it seems to be a very simple plot. A mysterious stranger comes to a small Irish seaside town. He's a healer and a sex therapist, even. He bewitches the whole town, especially the women, one woman in particular, who becomes very intimate with. But it comes out that he's an extremely notorious war criminal in hiding. The war being the Bosnian-Serbian conflicts of the 90s, especially the Siege of Sarajevo. But that's the first half of the book. The rest of the book is the whole transformation of all the people he comes into contact with by hiding out in this town, and particularly this one woman. And it's really a novel about refugees and all the refugees who've survived the horrible wars and ethnic cleansings in Europe. And it's very timely because of what Europe's going through right now with, you know, the Syrian refugees and all of that. And the Irish village actually becomes sort of us, the reader, who are these sort of untouched people by all these horrors and atrocities, and then we're suddenly confronted with them by reading this book. And it's a novel with a purpose. It's going to try to get us to try to be better people and have a little bit more compassion. And it's a wonderfully written book, and Edna O'Brien is just amazing. So if you haven't read her, check her out.
For more information on the Golden Notebook in Woodstock and the great work they do and the wonderful list that James has provided us this morning, you can go to their website, goldennotebook.com. Goldennotebook.com. Better yet, go visit them. 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. A beautiful store, a great place for browsing, a great place to just find a wonderful read for a rainy day like today, or even a book to take out in the sunshine.
Exactly.
Your weather, whatever the weather.
Well, it's putting up a forest fire in Woodstock right now, so it's a good thing.
That's right. Absolutely.
We're very happy.
Absolutely. For more information on the Golden Notebook, goldennotebook.com. You can also find the list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. James, it's always a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.